bug me, Murphy?
Drugs. Drugs bug me.
In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century earth disease called hard drug abuse.
I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and beat about using it. So remember, don't.
Montucky Skies.
Hey, welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brennan.
I'm Bradley Cooper.
Oh, you're Bradley Cooper. I just got another nomination.
Yeah, three acting nominations in 3 years, plus my first ever Best Picture nomination as a producer.
I think that's the first time that's happened for a Best Actor, too.
First time since Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And didn't he win, like...
He won two of them.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. But yeah. I hesitated because I wasn't sure of my nerddom. I wasn't sure if I could pull that out accurately.
It's the season to be remembering these things.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just start out of the gate. What were the Best Picture nominees? Let's start with there.
Cool. Our Best Picture nominees are, and there were eight out of a possible 10 this year.
Which it's been nine since they expanded it. It was nine every year until this year.
Yes,
right?
This is the first year it's been not nine. And our nominees are American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Now, Biggs has seen seven of eight so far.
Nice.
And will have seen eight of eight by tomorrow. Which one do you think I haven't seen?
Well, if you're going to see it tomorrow, have you seen American Sniper? I figured it'd be American Sniper or Selma.
American Sniper. It's Selma.
I figured it'd be one of those two.
Yeah. So I will see Selma tomorrow. So I can't say for certain I have not seen Selma. But here's the thing. Fucking bullshit Gone Girl is not on this list.
The Academy was not in love with Gone Girl.
No, they weren't. It was up for Best Actress for Rosamund Pike.
And that's
which
it.
Which is good. Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's bullshit. Like, it didn't even pull a writing nomination.
Nothing.
Which is a fucking travesty.
It's crazy.
Like, we were just having a conversation on The Thin Man about how that one and Birdman were both written so good, it was like kind of a toss-up as to which one was better.
And here we are. Well, the Academy didn't think it was a toss-up.
No, not at all. What a bunch of shit.
It's ridiculous.
So here's the thing. I watched American Sniper last night. Which is a really good movie, doesn't deserve to be up for writing.
The sense...
Because there is a fucked up thing they do at the end of the movie that was a mistake. And I can't support that being up for writing, especially with the end of that. But the rest of it feels like, as much as I liked it, didn't feel like a movie I've never seen before at all.
The sense
like, it hits familiar.
I get from that movie is that, and this isn't sort of any... dig at the quality of it so much to say I feel like it's being buoyed by recency bias. I really think if American Sniper had come out in April, it would not be as present on the nominations as it is.
Now, here's what I will say. Bradley Cooper absolutely deserves it for Best Actor.
I have heard that as well.
He is amazing in it, and it's hard to believe that it's Bradley Cooper. I mean, he has like a thick-ass neck in it, for example. Like, mm-hmm. He clearly did a lot of weight training for the role. And his southern accent that he pulls is flawless, at least to me. And to the untrained ear of like Texas accents, it really sounds like he's from Texas. And he really pulls it off. And he does a great job. Like, he's kind of... Like, he shows minimal emotion when he needs to, but he does a great job in that movie. Like, I would not be shocked if things just... panned out right for him to win.
Yeah.
I still think it's Michael Keaton's the front runner, but I could see it shake out for Bradley Cooper winning, and I wouldn't feel at all bad about it. Like, he does a really good job in that movie. So I just want to get that out there. But that movie is not written well. Can I just spoil the end?
Yeah. I mean, it's based on real life, so...
Yeah, okay. So the whole movie is about this guy who had more confirmed kills than any other sniper in American history. And Bradley Cooper, he's basically dealing with PTSD, and that's really what this movie is about. But at the very end, he comes back after his fourth tour in Iraq, and he's just trying to pull it together for his family, and he starts helping out all these other people at the VA center, okay? And that's fine. Like, that all works. And then he goes to get into his truck with this guy who we've never seen before, that he's going to go take a ride with, and then it just ends with these credits that say, like, basically that guy shot and killed him.
Yeah.
Like, there you go. There's your end. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and I just got the rug completely swept out from under you.
It was something I was thinking about just about the movie in general, is knowing how Chris Kyle died. I was just having an impossible time imagining how they would end the movie at that point without making feel like, so here's the movie you watched, and now for the final 10 minutes, here's a scene that is not related in any way to anything you watched that closes this story.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you this simple solution of what they could have done. He goes off in the truck because she's having a happy moment with her husband before he leaves, and then like she goes and does something, and they kind of cut away to later, and she gets a phone call, and then you see her reaction to the phone call and starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. Like, that one little thing would have spoke volumes, just one simple little scene. But instead, they just do this inane thing where they put, like, things on it. Like, it's a visual medium. If you didn't want to show him getting killed, fine.
Don't show him getting in the truck, then. Like, just end the movie at a different... Because what I was thinking is, like, you don't even need to include his death in the body of the movie. That's fine if you want to include that for, like, the after-movie text, like, and now here's what's happening with the characters. But then don't include the scene with him getting in the truck.
I think with the nature of it being a biopic, for the amount of time that they choose to that they chose, there was no avoiding it. I think you had to address the death, but they did not address it well.
No.
And so it infuriates me that this is up for a writing Oscar.
Because
I
would still say it could
belong on the best picture list because it is that good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it belongs on the up for a writing Oscar. It's fucking bullshit. It really makes me mad. Sorry.
No. I just don't.
You know what? I haven't seen this yet, but I've seen the trailers I've seen on this. Bradley Cooper does a really good job. What I've seen from the trailers, that's all I've seen of this. Because I know a family friend that came back from Iraq, and the way he acts and looks in just those parts nails it.
Are you talking about the PTSD stuff?
The PTSD and just somebody who's been through that, not necessarily the PTSD stuff, but just somebody who's been there it resonated just through the trailer. And that's all I've seen of this.
And this is the thing too, like especially with the PTSD stuff in particular, and one other scene I'll talk about in a second. He does such a great job, because what you're used to in movies with PTSD is there's like some loud noise and then they completely flip out or they like overact like the emotion and stuff. He just is almost like waking from a dull dream when he's looking at stuff, and you can tell he's concerned, but at the same time he's not really reacting because he's assessing as you would imagine a soldier would, who's used to combat. Like, he really nails it there. It really feels honest with those scenes that he does it. There's also another scene in particular that's really good, and he's sitting there scoping. He's scoping this guy, and he kills him, who's got a rocket launcher, and then this kid comes up, and he grabs a rocket launcher, and he's sitting there scoping the kid, like...
Yeah, that bit's in the trailer.
You can tell in his face, he's just like, don't do it. Please don't do it. Like, you know, and he's killed a kid earlier in the story. And so you can tell when the kid finally doesn't grab, he's like, it's like this sense of relief. But then you can tell this little look wash over him of like, but I did kill a kid already. Mm-hmm. But that's another issue I have with the movie, is that he kills a child in this movie and it didn't actually happen. Like, Chris Kyle has said, he never killed a kid. Like, so the scene that they're talking about is he sees like this woman running down the street with a child, and this guy like hands a woman something, and she clearly has a weapon, and so he has to kill her, and he doesn't want to, which would have been intense enough, but then a kid like takes a weapon from her, and then he has to kill the kid. That didn't happen. That part of it didn't happen. The rest of it happened. And I'm like, why did you have to add that? Like, it was adding this double jeopardy to something that didn't need to be added.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they were thinking for the extra weight when they scoped the kid later. But trust me, scoping that kid was intense enough. You didn't have to have the weight of, like, he's killed a kid before to point that out. And it's fine if it's fictional, but this is a real person. Like, I always have a little bit of a problem when they take liberties with big things like that.
Yeah. The only thing,
like, you're hanging child killer on somebody who's never killed a child. That's not okay.
I'm reluctant to throw anybody under the bus without... I'd like to hear what the reasoning from them behind that decision was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I also mean, like, I wouldn't put it past, like... I don't know. Like, I just truly don't know. Like, I don't know how much of what's in Chris Kyle's book is the truth.
I looked that up on a couple of sites, and that's where I'm coming from on this. Because I was like, if I'm going to talk about this movie, I have to catch up.
Yeah,
on
I just plain old, I just do not know that that specific level.
So that was what I read, and in his book, he even said, like, when he was scoping the kid who had the gun, he wasn't scoping him to kill the kid. He was even saying he would never kill a kid, regardless of the circumstances. He waited for the guy who had the gun, who's putting him up to it, to show, and then he killed that guy next to the kid. But he didn't even like intend on killing the kid. Still. You could have kept that scene, that would have been okay.
Yeah.
But it was the him killing the kid earlier that was just unnecessary, because there's already this, like, intensity to it anyway. And it's once again, dude, it's a real-life story. That's a pretty heavy thing to include in for somebody who didn't actually commit that act.
Yeah.
I mean, he's killed 160 people. There's plenty of people to go through. And he thinks it was closer to 250, according to his book. It was just 160 confirmed.
And I've never met any military people who ever exaggerated their body count.
And they even explained it in one part, because they said, he killed this one person, and then you see them dragging off the body, and he can't quite get to them in the scope when they're dragging off the body. But he even mentions, like, I can't confirm this one because they took the guy. But it's a way of saying, like, he probably killed more people than what's confirmed. And the movie is not about how many people he killed, although it's mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
But for the most part, pretty good movie, I gotta say. Like, the negatives were outweighed by the positives in that movie, I would say. But, dude, kind of a dark year for the Academy.
That's my thing.
A lot of dark,
like,
movies, man.
With part of what's been getting me through a lot of the dark stories is that they've all had, like, a hint of weirdness to them or something interesting. And, like, American Sniper has
There's
been
no
one,
weirdness.
And that's why I've been so hesitant. It's like, I don't want to just sit and be depressed about this for 2 hours. I just don't.
I will say, I didn't know the history of what happened, and it was uplifting until you read, like at the very end, it's uplifting
happened.
Until you read what happened.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. I would encourage you.
Oh,
to
I'm planning on it. It's just hard to motivate myself
I
to.
Understand. Like, Selma, we know... I mean, I think
exactly.
Martin Luther King,
like,
dies at the end, right?
I have to imagine.
Yeah. I don't know. I should be saying this. I'm literally going to watch it tomorrow. I should keep my mouth shut. Like, I'm talking about the only one of the eight I haven't seen. I also watched... what was the Benedict Cumberbatch
the
one?
The Imitation Game.
Yes, The Imitation Game is fucking good.
I've heard a lot of people really liking that.
Yeah. Brandon, you would get very into this movie. So it is about a codebreaker named, I think, Adam Turing?
Alan Turing.
Alan Turing, okay. Played by Benedict Cumberbatch. Okay, he's in World War II. He's really good at breaking codes. And
is this...
Tyrion from
to do
Game
with
of
the,
Thrones is in it. Or is no, Tywin. Wait, which
one?
Yeah,
Charles Dance, Tywin.
Yeah, Tywin is in it, playing his boss, who's not such a nice guy, with power. So they really casted him to his strengths.
Is this talking about the story of the Enigma machine? Or
yes.
Okay.
So this is the guy who not only cracked the Enigma code to help us win against the Nazis in World War II. I'm saying us, like I had anything.
America.
America. Even though it's about Great Britain.
Yeah, but still America.
That's right.
God's country.
I could be wrong on this, but I think E was in this movie. Am I wrong on that?
I still haven't seen that one yet either.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I say E. Did you ever watch
Entourage?
Entourage?
A little bit. I
think E is in it. I think he's in it. Anyway, it's really good, but it's essentially like, so not only does he break the code, this is the guy who invented the computer, and there's a nice little twist at the end of it about his life that, because I didn't know a lot about his life, I knew some things. I didn't know things about his personal life.
Oh, yeah. That
when it takes the twist, it's like, it's a really interesting twist, because I could just picture people in the theater who are like rooting for this guy, and then there's that twist and the uncomfortableness that some people
there's some Boulderites that turned on him. I guarantee it.
Yeah, but I thought it was great. I don't know. Can I reveal? It's not. I don't think it's really a surprise, but he's gay.
Yeah,
and so that's that becomes been, like, a problem because he winds up being punished for it in the end after he did all the stuff for Great Britain. They said with his code breaking, they think that he basically saved 14 million lives in 2 years of World War II by being able to break those codes.
But he's gay, and that's ushered icky, in the so.
Computer. Yeah, I mean it's
ridiculous.
It's insanity, man. But yeah, so that I really recommend that one too. Birdman. Fucking fuck yeah.
Whiplash. Fuck yeah.
You know, I was saying before, like to you, that I think Birdman was my favorite. Whiplash
it is sticks really with growing. You, doesn't
I watched it a second time. It's really growing it's on
so
me.
So good.
Yeah, and it stuck with me a little bit more than Birdman. But Birdman was so weird that I really enjoyed the weirdness.
I heard somebody make their case for why they didn't like Birdman all that much, and I can't remember who it was, but basically they're saying, it's like, listen, I respected it, but when I watched it, it just felt like I was taking laps around that theater for an hour and a half. And I was like, I mean, that is basically what that movie is.
So. I mean, I enjoyed that aspect
I enjoyed
of it,
that aspect
especially
of
the
it too.
Drums were like pushing it to feel like that.
But
and
it
it's
make,
that intensity of the play.
But it does make sense that if you didn't like the laps around the theater, no. that then you would follow that you would not like the movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It checks out. That
I
tracks.
Mean, like, I do not, like, that guy clearly understood what he was saying when,
yes.
because he's right. But I like that feeling.
I
Maybe
liked
it's because
I
was an athlete.
No,
I
liked it too. I'm with you. Run me around that theater.
Whiplash, like kind of a darling, dude. So now here's the thing. Now, I'm not gonna give my predictions necessarily for who will win yet because you gotta watch this machine turn.
That's
for a
right.
little while.
There's gonna be some changes in the race.
That's right. There's gonna be some horses that overtake other horses. But at this juncture, if you were to ask me what was going to win Best Picture, I kind of got to go with Whiplash. Like, seeing that it got 5 nominations,
that's
it's a way more straightforward story than Birdman is. And I think when you take into account the geezers and the voters for the Academy, because you always got to remember those guys, I think Whiplash is more the obvious choice than Birdman. Birdman's, like, inherently weird. Which is why it makes me wonder if it can win Best Picture because of the older guys.
The thing that I worry about with Whiplash is how seen it was by members of the Academy. Because it wouldn't surprise me if the way it made the Best Picture nominees and a few others was just the fact that the people who had seen it ranked at number one, but then there were a bunch of people who didn't see it. Now, obviously, without seeing the nomination ballots, there's no real way to know that. But it would not shock me if there was a segment of the Academy Award who just never put in the screener.
Have you seen Whiplash yet?
I haven't seen that one.
You would enjoy that one, too. What have you seen that's up?
I did see A Theory of Everything.
Okay. What'd you think?
You know, I enjoyed it. I wouldn't put it as Best Picture.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same deal.
I'm with you there, too.
I enjoyed Although, it. I think Eddie Redmayne should be up for Best Actor.
He did a great job as Stephen Hawking in that. You know what? As you're following him, just the subtle acting that you pick up on was brilliant. Like, just like the hand twitches, just like seeing him like dealing with this disease and actually like watching it cripple him, it just really did a great job. Okay, so I went and saw this on Thursday with the kids. And there's a scene in it where he falls and hurts his head and finds out he has ALS.
Yeah.
And that scene where he falls is gruesome.
Yeah. Like, it's bad, dude, when he hits that pavement. And they do that. Now, it has now become stock sound that they use in a lot of movies, but that kind of noise that they do when he hits the pavement.
Oh, yeah.
The tinnitus
sound. You know, yeah. I don't hear that sound.
That's nice. That really? Must be a nice life to lead.
No, so I hear that 24/7, so I don't pick that up when it's in a movie.
Your ears ring all the time?
All the time.
Did you have like a hydrocodone habit I didn't know about? When did your ears start ringing?
Oh, they've rang for about 15, 16 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
This is news.
I had no idea, man. They've been ringing since you were in college?
Probably since last part of high school.
What happened there?
I don't know. They've just always rang. They've got worse.
Did you ever talk to a doctor about it?
Not really.
That's something you might want to talk about, dude. That's not a normal thing. Because I know you're not like an opiate head, so that's not a normal thing, man.
Yeah, you just get used to it, right, Brandon?
Yeah.
So you didn't have any moment where like somebody shot a gun next to your ear?
Oh, that's like that's actually probably episode.
What did it?
What did it is hearing rifle shots. Mm. Not so much hunting, but target practicing and just forgetting to put on like the first shot where I forget to put my headphones on. I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
After already too late. Anyway, so that scene, and then the next day, or not next day, it was yesterday, Saturday. I took the kids. We were walking around downtown, and this older gentleman. We were walking in front of the ice cream parlor downtown, the Big Dipper, and we're walking, and this guy, he fell, and it was the exact same thing. Like, you heard just this horrific sound. He sat up, and he had, like, instantly looked like he had a golf ball under his scalp.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And just, it was actually bleeding, like he was bleeding down his, like, so I ran over.
I ran over him to put him out of his misery.
Oh, I wish I could have. It's still, like, it's haunting me, like.
Brandon with the mercy killings here.
Like, oh, I felt so bad for this gentleman. I helped him get to his car where his wife was, and, like, you need to get him to the hospital now. So, I mean, and just, like, seeing all this, like, well, after watching The Theory of Everything, just, it was a little intense yesterday, and it's still kind of, like, bothering me today.
Sorry. I haven't done the Hulk drop for a while. That seemed like kind of appropriate music to me, though. So that figures that'd be the one you saw. That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
It might be my least favorite of them. I haven't seen Selma yet, but
yeah,
that might be my least favorite.
And that, like I said, I didn't hate the movie. I wouldn't put it as best picture.
It has a very paint-by-numbers feel to it.
It did. And yeah. I like the story a lot. I mean, I admire Stephen Hawking very much. And it was kind of interesting, but then again, it like just wasn't best picture for me.
Yeah, and it gets tough when you write a lot of drafts of something. I mean, that was already based off of a second biography. So. I'm sorry. I had to do it one more time. His ex-wife, like, wrote this awful book about him, and then she, like, recanted it and wrote another one.
And that's the one the movie's based off of?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the mea culpa. Part of me wonders. Okay, so the evil part of me wonders if she just did it to, like, sell another book. Like, we've already explored Stephen Hawking as evil. Maybe I should, like, the sales didn't quite get as good as I could have done. And let's face it, I could use some more book sales. Let's just rewrite this.
Let's just rewrite and change the adjectives to make him sound nice.
Yeah. Sort of George Lucas the shit out of it. Okay, so what was up for Best Actor? I wanted to talk about this briefly.
Best Actor we have.
Because I didn't examine this when I started talking about it, but like I want to be upset about Bill Murray not getting a nomination. So I want to hear who it is to see if there's anything not deserving over Bill Murray.
Your nominees are Steve Carell for Foxcatcher.
Can't comment on that yet.
Bradley Cooper for American Sniper.
That was deserving.
Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game.
Yeah, that was kind of deserving. He's really good in it.
Michael Keaton for Birdman.
Yeah, he's great.
and Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything.
Okay, I guess I can't be that upset, unless Steve Carell totally sucks.
Which, I can tell you he does not totally suck.
Yeah, it seems like people really like him in this movie, and I like Steve Carell anyway, so... And I've seen him in things that weren't totally funny. What was it?
The Way, Way Back?
Yeah. No. So, not that one, because I haven't seen it.
Okay.
But, what was the one with the beauty pageant?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Which I love, but he has a lot of dark fucking scenes in that. So I mean, knew he was capable of it. He plays
a suicidal Proust scholar, which is all you need
he
to know.
He has his wrist wrapped the entire movie. That's all you need to know if you want to know whether Steve Carell was, like, if that came out right field. It didn't. Dude was already capable of going dark. So.
Yeah. You know, and you really should watch The Way, Way Back. That one... Like, as far as his dramatic roles go, was really well done.
I'm going to be honest, this is the first I've heard about it.
So. Oh, it's great. It's really, really good.
I like that he was in a movie about the end of the world and the world actually ended.
He shares scenes with Sam
Rockwell. I'm always a fan of
that. He shares scenes with Sam Rockwell in Way, Way Back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I knew you'd be a fan
of
that.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of that duo.
Sam rocks well. It's just, it all works.
He does rock so well.
Now, the best actress is one that's going to cause me troubles because I'm going to have to watch a lot of these movies. Is there anything on there that was up for Best Picture?
That was also up for Best Picture?
Just read them off. I'll tell you.
Sorry, my phone's being apeshit.
Oh, that's okay. I wasn't sure.
There is one that was up for Best Picture. So your nominees are Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, 1 Night.
No idea.
Felicity Jones for The Theory of Everything.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
Julianne Moore for Still Alice. Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl. And Reese Witherspoon for Wild.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to watch a lot of those. I'm going to have to watch 3 of those, I think. So Rosamund Pike deserves it off of what I've seen so far, but I've only seen
right now it seems like the world front runner is for Julianne Moore. Yeah,
yeah, that seems to be.
Which, I mean, makes sense. Dude, it's got all the things you look for in a front runner.
Well, and the thing is, she's pretty due. She's been good for a long time and
unrecognized for the work she's put in over the time, which is what makes her an obvious front runner. And then you add in it's probably a great performance because it's her. It's about an interesting, challenging subject that the Academy loves. Like, it's got everything.
What is it about? I don't even know thing one about that movie.
She's struggling with dementia.
So she's playing up her age.
Yeah.
That's always challenging for an actress.
to admit that you're not 24.
That's right.
Actresses want to be like Kiefer Sutherland shows. Either a young gun or 24.
That's right. What was up for supporting actor? Because it's going to be J.K. Simmons. Let me just be clear on this. I don't care what happens in the horse
it
race.
Really
it's going to
be
J.K. Simmons.
And it better be him. And there's only one other actor I
for
will
Whiplash.
Accept.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Okay. There's only one other actor I will accept.
I won't.
And even then, I would still be disappointed, but I'd accept it because I love that person.
I will not accept anybody but Simmons.
Your nominees are Robert Duvall for The Judge. I will not accept that if he wins.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm trying not to judge it, but it really feels like, hey, we're the Academy. We want to shoehorn in the old guy that we've liked for a long time. Because Duvall was great. I haven't seen him be great in something for a long time.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder. It seems fishy. And it felt like Oscar bait when I saw the trailer.
The last thing he was great in, I think, was probably Get Low. Which is a really good movie.
I heard that. I haven't watched it, but I've heard that.
So it's him for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
So I know who you're...
Because I love Ed Norton, and I'd be happy to see him win.
I mean, I'd be happy for him, but it'd still be a
travesty. It's totally a makeup Oscar if he wins. Totally a makeup Oscar. Which, by the way, I'd accept it, but if anyone other than him or J.K. Simmons wins, and again, it should be J.K. Simmons by any reasonable standard, if it's not one of those two, I riot. I riot in the streets of Helena.
I'm still pissed. I've never been a fan of the Makeup Oscar. I look at the Makeup Oscar as the Lifetime Achievement Award, and if you can't hand out enough Lifetime Achievement Awards, you've done it wrong. So, yeah, I mean, Edward Norton did really great, but then I saw J.K. Simmons and it was over. It's over, dude. Like, J.K. Simmons won, and it was by a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even close. It was a knockout.
Yeah.
It's a fucking travesty if anybody else wins. What was up for Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actress, we've got Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, and Meryl Streep for Into the Woods.
Fuck,
She's not going to win. She's clearly just nominated there because she's Meryl Streep.
Well, I'll have to watch, be sure, because I felt that about the last one she's in. It turned out she's pretty fucking good. I didn't want to admit it, but I did. It's on the internet. I had to admit
it. There is evidence.
So here's the weak link in that one. Keira Knightley. You know, she's Keira Knightley. You could have traded her character from Pirates of the Caribbean with this character.
And it'd be fine.
She's not doing anything different. She's really not. I'm sorry, dude. I think they saw this pretty face. And they were like, yeah,
she's easy on the eyes. She's pretty
and she's British. Let's just give it to her. Like, it's best supporting actress. That's about it. Who cares? It's best supporting. I think that's what the Academy did. Honestly, I think they should have dug a little harder.
Yeah, you'd think, right? This is not exciting.
She's not bad in it, but she's not like Oscar caliber either.
Yeah, this is an uninspiring year for Best Supporting
There was
Actress.
One that I really wanted to hear. Who were they again?
Patricia Arquette?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Because I watched Boyhood the other night, which we didn't talk about. Yeah, she's really fucking good in this.
I think she gives the best performance.
She should be the front runner off of what I've seen.
I agree. And she did win the Golden Globe. I think she's the best performance in that movie.
I agree, and Ethan Hawke is really good too.
It's probably the best
work
Ethan Hawke's
career. And he also deserves his nomination as well. But in fact, I'm gonna say something maybe a little bit controversial about Boyhood, dude. Patricia Arquette and Ethan Hawke carry that movie.
Oh, absolutely. The kid's not good.
Not good. Yeah.
No.
He's serviceable when he's a kid because he doesn't do a lot. He just
the
observes.
Older he gets, the worse he gets.
Yeah, yeah. Because it lays at his doorstep
and
more.
And I was when I first saw Boyhood, I was very forgiving of it. When I rewatched Boyhood, he's not impressive. He's not.
And this is the thing about Boyhood too. So I know that Richard Linklater did this on purpose, so I'm okay with it. I don't think he ever thought he was going to be up for an Oscar for this.
Yeah.
I really don't. But the fact that they pulled it off is incredible, but there's no real cohesive story. It's just about growing up, which
is
kind of refreshing when you're watching it, but it is irritating at certain scenes when you're like, how come this thing doesn't pay off?
The thing I did when I rewatched it, I put in my mind as, okay, I'm going to pretend that I don't know this was made over 12 years and that I don't know it's the same kid, and I'm going to pretend they just had actors.
So were you watching, you're like, what'd they do, the CGI? Did they get people to look like each other?
No, I just went, I basically was just sort of doing a thought experiment, which is, what if Boyhood was
just a movie?
Just any other coming-of-age story. And that's the thing is, if it was just a movie, it would be just any other coming-of-age movie. Like, there's nothing in the writing that's... It's all about the ambition of the project and what Richard Linklater had to do as a director, which is incredible, but the writing of that movie is not that strong.
No.
when you really turn an eye on it.
No, and that's... But I'm not talking garbage about that movie.
No, it's a very good movie.
I did enjoy it. I would say the other criticism I would have, though, could we have... trim 25 minutes.
Yeah, we could have cut some time out of that thing.
Like, a good 25 minutes, I think, would have been okay. There were some things in there that I was just like, I don't know if I really needed that.
Yep, I'm with you.
Because by the end, I'm just, like, looking at the clock, like, come on.
Yeah, by the end, you're still sort of hanging on for the novelty of it.
2 hours and 45 minutes is a long movie, and that's fine if they got a lot to say, but there wasn't a lot to say. Mm-hmm. It was just... You're watching a kid through his childhood.
You could tell it's just that after spending 12 years on this mofo, they didn't want to cut anything.
Yeah, well, I have a theory. I think that he cut things every year and then did a final cut, but I think he mostly stayed to whatever he probably cut for
every
year.
I think he was like, the footage I'm going into this with is the footage that's coming out.
So you haven't seen Boyhood?
No.
Do you think that they intentionally had him change his haircut every year so that you could know it was a change in year, or do you think it just happened?
I think it just happened, because from what
I've read... Me and my wife had a conversation about that, because that was something I thought about right away, because that was always my first cue. Because they don't give you, like, a year or anything, yeah. Which they could have done. But instead, it's like... Because there's, like, scenes where it does a quick cut, and you're not realizing it fast forward a year, and then you're like, oh, dude's hair is totally different.
Yep.
They just cut it forward a year.
I think it was a night... I think it's one of those things that they would have asked, but they didn't need to, because Eller Coltrane was just doing whatever he did in his life, and it worked out. Because from what I understand from reading interviews with Eller Coltrane, the kid, is that outside of the time he was on set, they pretty much just left him to live his life. Like, yeah. They just left him alone.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
So, I think whatever his hair was when he showed up to shoot, I'm sure they probably did some, like, hair and makeup normal movie things, but I don't think they gave him full new cuts for each year.
No, and that's what I thought, too, but then I thought about, like,
it's there were certain
years of my life, especially in, like, high school and stuff, where I had the same haircut for a couple of years.
Yep.
Seems a little weird.
Agreed.
But maybe he was just like, all right, we're going to end with this Ethan Hawke scene and pick up with an Ethan Hawke scene where his hair is different.
Or yeah.
He now grows like a really chintzy mustache.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he did have those conversations with Patricia Arquette and Richard and Ethan Hawke.
By the way, you want to talk uncomfortable, dude? Try being a stepdad and watching that movie. She goes through three marriages in that movie. Well, okay. One marriage has already dissolved, but she goes through two more marriages in that movie. I guess, spoiler alert. Am I supposed to say that on the front end or the back end?
Generally, you say it before the spoiler.
And those stepdads are fucking douchebags.
They are hardcore dicks.
But there was like a maturity with the Patricia Arquette character and the Ethan Hawke character that I really appreciated in that. But there was a scene where like... So... You watch, like, the fucking drunken rampage that the first stepdad goes through, and then, like, the next one, you see, like, the first time you see it, he seems cool, and then they cut to the next year, and you can see the little bit of douchiness creeping in. You cut to the next year, and she's done with the guy, and I was like, I like that. Like, I assume from watching that she didn't wait around for, like, him to go douchiness too far, to go that was like experience and like, all right, I'm done, this is going in a direction it shouldn't go in. Like, and I liked Ethan Hawke's character, like I related with him at the beginning because I was like, yeah, that was like me before I had kids, except for I got the message immediately when I found out my wife was pregnant and changed my life, you know. But like, he reminded me of my wife's ex in some ways, like the way he would just talk garbage about his wife in front of the kids. But then when you watch as it goes on, he stops doing that. And I was like, that was something I think was intentionally put in there.
Yeah,
by Richard Linklater. Like, when I heard him talking about his life, it really mirrored what was going on in this movie. And I think that like he watched his dad kind of go through that, where he was like really angry and like, couldn't help but talk shit about his ex at certain points in front of the kids. And then at a certain point, you can tell he doesn't necessarily approve, but he just keeps his mouth shut, you know?
Yeah.
Which, like, I thought was a good time. Like, that is maturity right there. Like, you start to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, you learn when to pick your spots.
Yeah, you fucking get older, dude. It's 12 fucking years. If you haven't changed in 12 years, you're pathetic. Especially if you got kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Did we hit everything?
We've hit Best Picture and the actors. We haven't talked about director.
Did we talk about the supporting actresses?
Yeah
we did.
Yeah, remember?
Okay.
Yeah, just in there.
You wouldn't know it from the conversation we were having, but that's the one we were talking about. So we got our nominees for director: Alejandro González Iñárritu for Birdman, Richard Linklater for Boyhood. Interestingly, considering his film was not nominated for Best Picture, and in fact, I'm just going to say this now. I really think that if you're nominated for Best Director, your film should automatically get a nomination for Best Picture. Because if you're telling me that this person was able to do one of the best jobs directing a feature film of the year, but their movie wasn't good enough to be nominated for Best Picture, what the fuck went wrong? That's what I need. What went wrong?
Yeah,
if they're
I can't argue it, dude.
So we've got Birdman, Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, which, whatever. It's not even against him. Like, I'm happy for the dude. It's just, why the fuck are you nominating someone whose movie isn't nominated for Best Picture? I don't understand what's happening. That
does seem strange.
And then you have Grand Budapest Hotel for Wes Anderson and The Imitation Game, Morton Tilden.
I can't really comment on what I think is going to happen until I figure out who the front runner for Best Picture is for sure.
Right now, just looking at these five candidates in a vacuum, I'd say
Birdman.
Iñárritu and Linklater would be the front runners. Linklater just for the dedication it takes to make a film over 12 years and how much people seem to be responding to that narrative.
I kind of feel like they're going to honor that movie with Patricia Arquette.
I think so too, but I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me. Like, if the Academy's in love with that narrative.
Yeah.
Because it would appeal to the director's branch.
And it would be one of those things like, you've meant a lot to Hollywood over the years, you've inspired a lot of people. Not necessarily going to hand you an Oscar for a Best Picture, but here you go. There's Best Director, like, as a consolation.
Exactly.
See, that thought it occurred that I could, to me, too.
Yeah. And then with Birdman, I look at it, and it has a similar thing where he's got this incredible visual gimmick. And I don't mean gimmick as any sort of insult towards the film, just as, like, that is sort of part of what became the selling point for the film. And it's very easy for me to see directors voting for that going, I mean, look at the blocking and cinematography in this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, see, how I'm looking at it is, like, I think the Academy really wants Birdman or Whiplash, and I think Whiplash has the edge once again because of the old people, but I think the consolation will go to Birdman for Best Director because, like, the visuals are incredible in there, like you said, and the performances are really
incredible. And then you add in,
and just I think Michael Keaton will get it. You know what? You didn't mention Emma Stone, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah. I'd be happy.
I'd feel like a real because she was fourth on the list of five. But I felt like a real dick if I skipped
over. I think I just spent a lot of time talking shit about Keira Knightley. Who I said was a front runner.
You did. You went straight to Keira Knightley.
It's not even a terrible performance. I get tired of these uninspired choices where they're like, yeah, they were in a big movie. Like, they're in something we, like, threw a bunch of stuff. She doesn't do a lot in the movie.
Yeah. You can tell it's just that they needed to fill that slot with something.
That's what I feel like it was. Like, hey, we really like her. We're just, what the fuck? We'll throw her an Oscar.
It's like, shit, Amy Adams just won a Golden Globe for Big Eyes. You couldn't throw her that slot? Like, what the fuck's happening here?
Yeah, she chose to do a Tim Burton movie, which I can't really get behind.
I can't get behind it either, but I guess what I'm saying is like, I love the idea that someone can win a Golden Globe and then not even be nominated for an Oscar.
Can you look up what was up for best scores?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm interested in scores and cinematography.
It's worth noting, my two choices for scores were ruled ineligible.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Gone Girl up there, but that's not up there either.
And that was my third choice. Yeah, so my top three choices did not get nominated. So there you go.
It's a bad year for scores.
I guess.
Maybe. Let's hear what they are.
So your first nominee is The Grand Budapest Hotel, composer Alexandre Desplat.
No.
Your next nominee is The Imitation Game, composer Alexandre Desplat.
It's all right.
Twice in a row, Mr. Desplat.
It's all right. It doesn't really stand out. I want something that pops.
Zach. Interstellar, Hans Zimmer.
That's...
No. I know. I just like making that sound when I hear his name.
You know what? That might be the winner off of what I heard so far. What else is there?
Anytime Hans Zimmer walks into a room where his name gets mentioned, I just like to think the Brom noise
Everybody
plays.
Goes, Brom.
That's his version of Norm! next is Mr. Turner for Gary Yershon. And then the final nominee, Golden Globe winner Johan Johansson and his score for The Theory of Everything.
Yeah, not that. I haven't seen the,
I actually
the
really liked that score. Which, honestly, that may be an act, because what you have to understand is I've heard the beginning of that score, some chunks in the middle, and the end probably 140 times at this point. So, like, just by sheer time with it, I've grown to like it.
I feel like it's not bad. It just doesn't pop, Zach. It doesn't pop. It should have been fucking Birdman. That still pisses me off.
Yeah, I know. That's infuriating.
And Gone Girl should have been up there.
Would have been nice to see.
What was the other one they ruled ineligible?
Whiplash.
Oh, God really? Damn. Dude, that one should have been up there, too. Mm-hmm. But is that because they're using jazz standards?
Yeah, and even though they rearranged a lot of the pieces in the score for the movie, they still count as adapted rather than original. Yep.
Fucking bullshit.
So my top three choices did not even make the cut.
That's a bullshit fucking award now.
Yeah.
All right, what else did they... Cinematography, what was up? I think the ones I wanted the most are up there, like Birdman and Grand Budapest Hotel, right?
Cinematography, Birdman, Grand Budapest Hotel, Ida, Mr. Turner, and Unbroken.
Yeah,
which is just there because Roger Deakins shot Unbroken, and Roger Deakins has been nominated like 17 consecutive years, and he does beautiful work. The big snub that's pissing me off, animated feature film, Lego Movie, nowhere to be seen.
I know, that's kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I have a theory about this too, much like my Whiplash
theory. Way too early.
I think what happened, why Lego Movie didn't get nominated, I think is because, remember, this was solely voted on by the animators, that department of the Academy. Mm-hmm. And my theory is they saw the screener say Lego Movie, thought, oh, this is silly, there's no way this is good, and never got around to watching it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because there's two artsy-fartsy ones that made it over top of it, which isn't to say any
which
quality.
Which I haven't seen yet.
So I haven't seen either, and it's not a diss of the quality, but that tells me for them to keep How to Train Your Dragon 2, Box Trolls, and Big Hero 6... And then boot out Lego Movie and the Book of Life
was the other
to
one.
Boot out both of those. They must either really hate those two movies or really like these
Let
two movies.
Let me be abundantly clear on this. Box Trolls does not belong on this list.
So now we found the slot where Lego Movie should be.
Yeah, Box Trolls does not deserve to be anywhere in this mention. It just doesn't. You can make a case for Big Hero 6. It was fun. You can make a case for it. I cannot make a case for Box Trolls. That is terrible.
And honestly, there's no case to be made for keeping Lego Movie off.
Yeah,
I agree. Just silly.
Yeah. But it also suffers from the... It was... I mean, wasn't that like a February release or
No, and it came out in the spring, summer.
No, it was
early. Wasn't it early? Oh, man.
I thought it was early, man.
In either case, honestly, for animated
and
movie,
it had
I don't
a long
think,
run. I mean, it had a long,
long run.
Yeah,
that's the thing is that's why I don't think this hurt the release date thing really does not hurt the animated movies the way it hurts.
Yeah,
other
I just
things.
Know like Christian and Jade saw it before they left for the dads in the summer, which means there's no way it wasn't released before at least the beginning of spring, the very very earliest. But I think it was like last winter. Right?
Yeah, like, it had to have been like February last year.
Yeah.
In any case, that's I don't think this is a case of it was out
no,
too
I,
early.
No,
like
I agree.
I don't think
it helped the case either because I think... All right, let me put it this way. There's an emotional thread that runs through that movie with mm-hmm. like the father-son relationship that can be forgotten if you haven't just watched it.
Right.
I kind of forgot it.
Here's my
now.
Thing is, wouldn't it make sense to look at the date that left theaters rather than the date it entered?
I hear you. I'm just saying, I think a lot of people like just saw it through the screener aside and like watched the other ones because they'd already seen it and they sort of forgot how good it was. Like a lot of Oscar movies suffer from that.
Yeah, I have a hard time just because it's the animators specifically voting on that category. Like that would make sense to me if it was the general Oscar population.
I'm not saying you're not right about your reasoning.
Well, it's not even that specific.
I'm just saying
theory.
I don't
that,
think it helps that it was early. That's
no,
all I'm
but
saying.
It certainly helps that it ran. Like the movies that are typically hurt by the early things are the ones that come out, run for like a month and a half and then leave. It's not the ones that run for 6 months in theaters.
Yeah.
Those are rarely the ones hurt by it.
I don't think this ran for 6 months, though.
I mean, it ran for a long ass time.
I would say it was a good five.
I didn't see it until...
5 months?
For what
no
it's worth,
way.
I didn't see it until July, which is why I thought it came out in the spring, like that April, May area. I didn't see it until July.
It was
July
on video theaters. By that point.
And it was still in theaters, too. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. That
Not
motherfucker.
H-Town,
that
dude.
Motherfucker was in theaters forever. I think it's still in some theaters. Like, I think it hasn't
maybe
left
in a
some.
Big city. Anyway, what? I think we should probably kill this because, jeez, we're running like...
Wait, you're telling me you don't want to talk about sound mixing?
All right, really quick.
All right, mixing. Great. That's my favorite cat in this.
It's going to go to Interstellar.
The nominees for sound mixing.
Mark my words right now.
It's American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, and Whiplash.
Yeah, it's going to Interstellar.
I know, but I just wanted to say Whiplash one more time.
I know. I'm not saying Interstellar necessarily deserves it, but you can make... Now, it kind of deserves it. I think
Well, this is where we learn what the sound communities really enjoy, because two types of movies win this award. Space movies in gun movies.
Yeah.
And so now we have the ultimate gun movie versus the ultimate space movie. What's so we're going to see
movie?
American Sniper.
Oh, yeah.
The one
yeah.
with Sniper in the title.
Yeah, I don't feel like they did a lot of sound editing compared to the other one.
Hey, this is sound mixing, not sound edit.
Oh, sound mixing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's the difference.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. I do know the difference, uh-huh. too.
Oh, I was just going to say the difference is staggering and unbelievable.
I really which is hyperbolic. Think with Interstellar, they fucking, that must have been a fucking difficult job. I just gotta say it.
The only
as much as I like the other movies on that list, I gotta put it head and shoulders above everything
the
else.
The only thing that makes me hesitant is I was surprised by the amount of love the Academy showed American Sniper. I was not expecting it to get the
it's
love
Clint
it did.
Eastwood, dude. He's old as shit.
I know, but
him.
Shit. I mean,
it's good.
Hereafter didn't get any love. I'm just amazed by the amount. I mean, I'm not even saying it against. I was just... That was one of those movies that I thought would be sort of like the last one missing the cut in every category.
Yeah.
Which did not end up being the case.
Well, it's good, and he's old, and he appeals to young people, so there you go.
And Bradley Cooper is so hot right now.
It very well could win Best Picture if things just play out right, which is not right.
Yeah, I have a real hard time imagining myself being okay with that.
But do you have a really hard time imagining it winning?
Not right now, no.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, that's why you watch the
horse
race.
I mean, at this
race.
Stage of the game, like, there's really only one I'd be surprised to see win at this point.
Theory of Everything?
No, to me, it's Selma. Just because...
One nomination, or two nominations.
Two total nominations.
And Best Song or something
now,
like that.
And I say that at
and
this moment...
they didn't even
moment,
get an Oscar or acting nod in
yeah.
Selma.
And the reason I say at this stage is because it would not surprise me either the backlash against the sort of ignoring Selma by the Academy. I would not surprise to see it sort of get... It wouldn't blow my mind, let's just say, if it got a weird run-up of love and hype right before the awards came
see,
out.
See, I think when you're doing a movie about Martin Luther King, as mm-hmm. more people watch it, there's always that potential that it'll
yeah, it'll just
list,
start snowballing.
Which is why I think it's got a shot. Benedict Cumberbatch one would
that one would
Imitation
be that one
Game
would surprise,
me. Not shock me though. You could make
actually,
the case just because of the like because of the political theme that runs through it. I could definitely see
that one
Hollywood
and Theory of Everything.
It.
I have a theory which is the Academy will support one of will throw their weight behind one of those two British
right
period piece biopics,
yeah.
and it's just a matter of which one.
Yeah,
they throw their weight behind.
Do they go with Lou Gehrig's disease, or do they go with homosexuality?
That's right.
Because there's only room for one.
Which challenging biopic do we run with this year?
Which ribbon are we going to choose to wear? That's how you could tell.
That's
if they
right.
invent a ribbon for one of those causes,
that's the one that's winning.
Yeah. Well, if it was the 90s, I guess. Everybody, we got these yellow ribbons again. We gotta give it to Philadelphia.
Isn't the yellow ribbon the support the troops ribbon?
I don't even remember anymore. Is it the pink ribbon? No, that's breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Red ribbon, right?
Yeah, red
okay.
ribbon. Because green ribbon is mental.
Long
is mental
time since anybody wore a red ribbon.
It's true.
Wouldn't you like if I went up to the Oscar, I'd just wear like an old ribbon just to make everybody else
make
feel
it
bad.
Seem like it was a cause.
And then when I gave a speech, I'd be like, I'm wearing a red ribbon because I support AIDS, unlike all you other people who clearly don't care about AIDS research anymore because it's not fashionable. And I prefer best supporting actress.
Jared Leto out.
Jared Leto out.
And you know what's great is your supporting actress.
Who would be
work.
Better to do it?
Because do you know who presents best supporting actress this year?
Freddie Mercury's
no.
Ghost.
Jared Leto, the winner of Best Supporting Actor.
Really?
The winner of Best Supporting Actor
Jared
presents
Leto.
Best Supporting Actress and vice versa. And then same for Best Actor and Best Actress.
Jared Leto, if you want, I'll send it to you in an envelope for you to look at. And you can, like,
you
know, you
can make your
use
call.
It as a mission.
Tie it up in your hair, whatever you want to do, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you
destroy
see weird...
something beautiful.
He's got a weird, like, wide braid. It's very confusing. I don't understand his hair choices.
Okay, we cannot talk about his hair choices. We've got to cut this off.
Whiplash.
Is that what you want to win?
I think so.
I
I'm
think
still...
I'm edging out Birdman.
I think
Whiplash.
I am too, and I've
yeah.
been going back and forth, but I'm leaning Whiplash.
I kind of think I need to watch Birdman again to make sure I'm making the right choice.
My thing is Birdman has the support of all the people Whiplash is the little movie that could, and yeah. I like rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, but I don't even take that into account. Whiplash, I've been thinking about a lot.
I can't get it out of my head.
All right, we gotta let's just finish up talking about this while we're doing the outro here, because there's too much to talk about. I mean, Whiplash is incredible. J.K. Simmons is awesome. Miles Teller is serviceable.
Damien Chazelle, bitch.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some. I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, it's something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include rule birds, best available, you have a good life, on top of skies, box office battles within men, and shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, On Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow, my whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network, putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.